James chapter 4 this morning. James chapter 4. I preach on a very familiar scripture that we probably preached on several times over the years. But I just really feel so impressed to preach this message. And you know me, I wouldn't have done it. But I want to preach just having a simple thought today on living close to the Lord. Now I ask you to stand to your feet if you would. James chapter 4, if you can, stand to your feet across the house. And James 4 and verse 8. And the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Heavenly Father, help us during this time of preaching. Touch us and anoint us afresh. And Lord, I pray you just guard our mind and our thoughts today. Keep Satan far, far away from this meeting and hinder him. And Lord, if he's one lost, that they'd come and get saved. Oh, how they need to trust you today. And God, then they can know about heaven and what it really means and to have joy and peace in their heart. And the one that might need to draw close, I pray they'd come and draw close today. Tell you again, we love you. Help during the preaching hour for this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And be seated today. As we look in this text scripture in James chapter 4, as you look at the previous verses in the text, you'll find that he is dealing with strife. And that between people. He's not only dealing with strife, but they're also living and acting like the world. Now let me say this today, that for believers that live and act like the world, there's going to be strife. There's no way around that, because if you act like the world, the world is in strife today. There's always contention. But for the child of God, there should be peace and joy in your heart today, and especially between one another. Don't you reckon that we ought to have peace and joy between one another today? Amen. I believe that. But I notice as he talks about that, and he comes on down, and he even talks about that they have not because they ask not. When they do ask, he says, you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon their lust. Their asking was wrong. Sometimes if we're not careful, our asking will get wrong. But I just want to look and take this simple verse, if I might. After he talks about submitting yourselves therefore to God, and there must be a submission in that to the God of heaven. Listen, and he said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But then he said, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That is a conditional statement right there. Notice that it said that if we draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. I was talking to a fellow the other day. We were discussing this scripture. I've had this on my mind all week, and I was just talking to him about it. Most of y'all know the story. When me and my wife started dating, I had an old Oldsmobile that had a bench seat in it, and she would sit right next to me. And then I had an old Chevrolet pickup truck, and she would sit right next to me. And she don't sit next to me anymore. And you know, I'm still sitting in the same position that I always was, Brother Andy. I'm still sitting behind the driver's seat. But Miss Latham don't sit as close to me as she used to. Something changed over the years. He said, well, it's the vehicle you're driving. That's true. It is the vehicle that we're driving. But she is not as close when we're riding as she used to be. Let me ask you today, was there a time in your life when you know that you were closer to the Lord than you are now? That's a statement you're going to have to answer. Listen today, if there is a time that, let me say this, let me stop right here and say this. If you're living close to God, then you keep on doing what you're doing. If you're close to Him, then you keep on serving Him. You keep on doing what you're supposed to be doing. But I've got a feeling as I studied this that some of us, and I tell you, there's always room for me to draw closer in that to God. And let me say this, that the closer you get to Him, the closer you're going to want to be to Him. The closer you're going to want to live and that to God. But let me ask you, how close are you to the Lord today? How is your life and that to the Heavenly Father and His dear Son? Are you close today? I'm not talking about, are we coming in here and singing? I'm not talking about, are you being faithful to church? I'm not talking about, friend, are we acting religious? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm asking you about your relationship with the God in heaven that sent His beloved Son so that we could get saved. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to know you, and He does know you, but He wants you to know Him today and know all about Him. Amen. I want to look at what James talks about right here, if I can, for just a minute, Lord being our helper, that if there's ever a time that church that we need to be close to God, it is now. Why is it? Let me say this, that you know, the closer that we live to the Lord, I'm getting ahead of myself, the closer that we live to Him, friend, the more that we'll stay out of this world, and the more sin will stay out of our life, that if we'll stay close to Him, that'll help us. But number one, let me say that there is a right way and that to draw nigh to God. For some people, and that in drawing nigh to God, there's going to have to be some repentance in your heart. There's been something that has separated between you and God. There's something that has stopped that. But let me say today that if you're lost, you're far away from God. Ephesians talks about, when it talks about in Ephesians 2, and I know that he's talking about the Jew and the Gentile over there, putting them in one body and breaking down the middle wall of partition. But he said, now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. There was a time when we were far away from God because of our sin and because of our unbelief and because, friend, just to be honest, we were lost without God. We were far from Him and didn't know nothing about it. But ain't you glad for the day that the Holy Spirit came and knocked on your heart and beckoned you to come and get saved? Whether you were little or whether you were grown, I'm glad God spoke to my heart. I'm glad He come to where I was and spoke to me and said, hey, you're lost. You need to do something about yourself. And here's what you need to do. You need to come and trust me. Ain't you glad that there was a day when the Heavenly Father come to where you were and you were able to get saved? Amen. I'm glad for that today, church. But you know what? As we grow in Him and as we go in this world, if we're not careful as saved folk, it seems like that things can slide a little bit and things can get further away. And you know, when men, Miss Latham, like I say, when we were dating, she sat right over there. Even after we got married, she said, still driving that same old Chevrolet truck, and she sat right next to me. But something over the years has got between us. She said, you know, we got bucket seats now, brother. Amen. And so she can't sit over there anymore. But you know what happens? Sometimes something happens in our life that forces a wedge between us and the Lord. For some people, it's sin. You know, for some, it's just plain old sin. It's just plain old iniquity and plain old just doing things that you just ought not to do. Can I tell you today that saved people can still sin? Amen. I know that we looked about being free from sin last Sunday night. By the way, I'm going to continue on that with the tempter tonight. God been our helper. But I want you to understand, you can still sin and get separated and that from the Lord. What was it that He said in the book of Isaiah chapter 59? He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and
and your God and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Hey, sin separates us from God and takes the closeness that we once had, drives a wedge in there, and now we're getting further and further away from the Lord. Don't you like a close relationship? Period. I'm talking about a close relationship. I like having a close relationship with my wife. What about with your children? Don't you like having a close relationship with your children? I thought about Brother Jeff and Sister Kathy. Their kids are still living around here. You still get to see them and you still get to talk to them and fellowship with them. And Brother Jeff over here and Miss Beverly, Miss Bethany didn't move off. She just moved to another town. And you still get to go to church with her. And you still get to see her and her. And some of y'all sitting in here understand that. And you still get to maintain a relationship with your children. Ain't it tougher? Some of y'all know what it means to be moved away from your mom and dad, or your mom and dad's moved away from you. And it kind of puts a strain on that relationship. Why? Because there is a distance there. And you know what sin does to the believer? It puts a distance between us and the Heavenly Father. Now, you may not be concerned about having a close relationship, but I wish you would. And you may have a close relationship, and you can sit back in your pew and say, boy, the preacher's telling the truth today. Amen. By the way, you ought to say that whether you've got a close relationship or not. Because I am. You know, I had to sit down and deal with this myself. And it's that sin that separates from the Lord. I thought about David's sin. We know that. And David sinned more than once, by the way. David, in the book of 2 Samuel, I believe it is, you'll find that he committed that sin of adultery with Bathsheba. But you'll also find another time in his life that he numbered Israel. And you know, let me tell you this about David's sin. You'll find out that David, when he committed that sin of adultery, you'll find out that that the baby died. You'll find out, you remember he said that when Nathan came over and told him that story, that man shall surely die, but he shall restore fourfold. We know that's what David done. When old David ended up restoring fourfold, that baby died. Ammon, his son, raped Tamar. We know that Absalom slew Ammon. And then at the end of it all, Joab ended up killing Absalom after he ran David off the throne. And David didn't have one bit of trouble that we can find in that book until sin got in. You see what sin does? It always reaps out more than what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen, you don't put one corn kernel in the ground and hope to get one corn kernel. You hope to get at least an ear to 2 ears off that stalk when it grows up out of the ground. And hey, that's what sin does. It reaps out more in our life than we could have ever imagined. But it cuts us off from God. How do you know that it cuts off from God? Take your Bible and go to the book of Psalms 51. Psalms 51. David is repenting in Psalms 51. And by the way, while you're going there, let me say this. Let me continue that thought for just a second while you're going to Psalms 51. It cost David that baby, and it cost him Absalom, and it cost him Ammon. And it cost him the purity of Tamar. But you know when David numbered Israel, that there were 70,000 people got killed because of that. It cost him. Go back and read about it. Look at Psalms chapter 51. Look in verse 7. David is repenting. He's telling the Lord, I want to be washed thoroughly in verse 2 from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight.
David realizes what he's done. In verse 7, he said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit." I believe David was in a mess. I believe David was far from God. You can go back and you can look in the earlier part of the book of Psalms. I believe it is. And in one place, man, he talks about how all this stuff, my iniquities are too much for me to carry. He talks about how God's arrows are sticking into him. He was just in a mess because of his sin, and he was far away from God. Now David committed the sin of adultery when God had warned him. He knew what the law was, and it had brought misery in his life. I'm just going to tell you, sin brings misery, but then it just separates you. You may not be in sin today, but I'm going to tell you, you're separated. And if you're separated in that from the Heavenly Father, I believe I'd go back and look and see what happened. If your relationship ain't where it needs to be with God, and you know it, I don't have to tell you. If you're saved, you know how your relationship ought to be. It takes repentance to get that close relationship back. David in Psalms 51 was repenting of his sin. He wanted to get right with God. He wanted a clean heart. He wanted a right heart. He wanted a right spirit in him. Don't we need a right spirit in us? He said, "Restore unto me the joy." He said, "Don't cast me away." Listen, how many times would God have been justified in casting us away? In His righteousness and His holiness, how many times would He have been justified? But ain't you glad for mercy today? It was mercy and grace that saves us. It's mercy and grace that keeps us. Amen. But he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." To be away from God, he lost the joy that he had. You see, we think it's sin, and it is sin. Don't misunderstand me. But it separates from God, and then we lose our joy. We think we're going to find it over in the sin when really our joy is over here in serving God and not in sin. The book of Hebrews talks about how that there is pleasure in sin for a season, and it's only there for a little while. But I'm telling you, there's joy in God for all our life if we'll just remain close to Him. He said, "Draw nigh unto the Lord and He'll draw nigh unto you." If you're in sin, if there's some sin there, and listen to me, it may not be the sin of adultery. It may not be of thieving and stealing or fornication and all those types of sin. But friend, it might be the sin of bitterness and malice. It might be something like that. That is, you want to get robbed of your joy? Just get bitter towards somebody. Get bitter toward this life. Get bitter about the way things has turned out. Hey, I'm telling you right now, not everything's always going to be rosy and cheery. Not everything's going to be happy. I understand that. I know that. And if you ain't careful, you'll get bitter at some things that has happened in life. You ever just run into bitter people? You ever just run into them? You ever been around them? You might be one today. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, I hate being around sour people. I ain't been around bitter people. I hate it. Hey, it rubs off on you if you ain't careful. Amen. And I hate being around him. They always got something bad to say. Sometimes it's about somebody. But they've always got something bad to say about the situation, about how things are. And you can just tell that they're bitter. Me and Kelly, years ago, we went out to eat with a preacher and his wife. And he talked to us there through the beginning of lunch. And he got up to go to the restroom to wash his hands, and
His wife looked at us and she said, "He's not bitter." And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know what you call it, but that's what I call it. You say, well, he had reason, or maybe I've got reason to be. You ain't got no reason to be bitter. Listen, there may be reasons that things went bad and things went south. And listen, I understand. Listen, if I really understand how the devil affects you and how he can work on your flesh and work on your mind. And if you let him, he'll get in there and he'll twist on you and he'll work on you and you'll work on it yourself. You know what was it that he talks about over in the book of Hebrews about the root of bitterness springing up? I've preached on that, you know, the root of bitterness. If you're going to grow something, you got to plant the seed, then you got to water it, and then you got to hoe it. You got to keep the weeds away from choking it out. And that's the way a lot of people do with bitterness. They pull everything back away from it, and they let that thing grow. Amen. You know what will separate you? Bitterness. Malice. That's why we got to come and deal with God and let Him deal with our heart and commune with us. Psalms 34 said, "The Lord is nigh." That word "nigh" means close, by the way. "Nigh unto them that are what? Of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit." Some of you ain't close because you just won't come with a repentive heart. Whether it is of as Brother Jeff talked about this morning, that sin of omission or that sin of commission, I'm going to tell you, I believe it's the same. Friend, I believe it separates us. David was miserable in Psalms 51. He was far away from God. He wasn't close and he wanted to be close. The prodigal son, he got away from home because of his pride and what he could see and what he wanted to go do. That's why some people are not close to God. They're more in tune with this world. They're more attracted to this world than they are to God and God's word and the life that they ought to have in Him. But he said you got to be brokenhearted. Until you become brokenhearted over your sin, you ain't never going to draw close to God. That prodigal son, he got away from home knowing what was right and knowing what to do was right. And you know the thing about it was, his father did not follow him. His father did not finance him. Right? He sent him on his way with what he had. But once what he got done with, he was done. Well, no more. He had to go down there to the hog pen, and that's where he ended up at. I don't believe he's even in his right mind, because the Bible said when he come to himself, some people's just going to have to come to themselves. You're going to be miserable until you come to yourself. I heard a preacher preach here a while back on talking to yourself. He's preaching on a prodigal son. He got all the way down there in the hog pen, and the Bible said he came to himself, and he said, and he began to talk to himself about some things. You know, maybe sometimes we just need to talk to ourselves about some things. Ezra chapter 10, Israel's in a mess. And now the Bible said when Ezra prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men, women, children, for the people wept very sore. Why were they weeping? You go on and read that. They were wanting to get right with God. They were brokenhearted over the situation they were in. They were not close to God. And God had withdrawn himself. Has God withdrawn himself from your life because of what's in it? Because of sin. There has to be a submission and that to the Lord. Remember what he said, "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh to you." There has to be a submission of our life unto his will. How many of us are submitted? You know, let me say this, and it's if you want to buck up and you want to rire up on God, you can do that. You can rire up on him and buck and say, "I'm not going to submit to his will." But that's sin too, by the way. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I know we get like Gideon sometimes, and I preached on him, what, probably about a month ago I preached on Gideon. Gideon was struggling with his faith, but he was never telling God no. There's a difference in struggling with your faith and telling God no. Gideon was always headed in that direction that God wanted him to go. He was just wanting to make sure as he went. How many of us has ever been there? Y'all with me this morning? All right, just making sure. I've learned a long time ago that I'm dealing with the same flesh that you deal with. I got the same problems. I struggle with my faith. And some of y'all may not, and good for you. And I mean that. I'm not making fun or being sarcastic. Good for you if you don't struggle with your faith. Your preacher struggles sometimes. But I want to be like Gideon and be headed in the direction that I'm needing to go and not telling God no. But I just want to go in the direction He wants me to go. But it takes a holy and consecrated life, one separated out of the world. You cannot live close to this world and live close to God at the same time. It will not happen. No man can serve two masters. He'll either love one, hate the other, cleave the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot love this world, love God at the same time. You cannot be close to this world and close to God at the same time. It will not work. God wants us to be separated out of this world. He wants us to live holy and righteous like Him. He wants us to be like Him. You know how close He wants you to live? He wants me and you to live so close to Him that we'll be like Him. Amen. I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm being honest with you today. God, He is a just and the Holy Ghost. What was it? 1 Peter 1. He said, be ye holy for I am holy. He wants us to be a holy people, don't He? Wants us to be a righteous people. I love 2 Peter. He said, the Lord's not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but His long suffering does for not when the any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? If all this stuff out here is going to burn up and be done away with, He said, then what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness? None of this stuff matters. Don't matter. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life just don't matter. He talks about that you ought to just love God. Amen. We get sucked into the world sometimes if we're not careful. And before you know it, we began to be drawn out in that direction. You know, that's why He talks about in 2 Corinthians 7, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, He said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He said, cleanse all these things out of the flesh and the spirit. He said, man you got to clean yourself up. You remember when he had the children of Israel was going to meet with God on the mountain over there. He sent Moses down there. He said, you tell them to sanctify themselves, get separated, and then to wash their clothes even, and come and see me. He said, I want them clean on the inside, and I want them clean on the outside. That's what God said. How are you going to deal with that? He said, when they come to meet with me and get close to me. Let me ask you, how can we meet with God when we've got the world all around us and on us? I know we're living in this world. I understand that. I know we got to go out in the world. But friend, we don't have to be part of the world. Why do you think He told His disciples over there, all He needed to do was just wash their feet? It was just their feet that had got dirty. We don't need to be wallowing in the mire and the dirt of this world. Don't you want to be close to the Lord? Man, there's so many blessings that gets rendered out in our life. I mean, when we live close to Him. I know what time it is. I'm going to hurry. You know what? When we decide we want to live close to God, there's so much. that comes to that.
Ain't you mom and dads, don't you want to do something for your children, boy, when they're doing good and doing right? You get aggravated with them when they ain't doing right. How do I know that? I've talked to some of you. Would have been bad if I'd have failed, wouldn't it? Amen. You get aggravated. Don't you think, does the Heavenly Father get aggravated with us? Amen. I think He does sometimes. Especially the older that we get. You know, some of you, as you raised your children, you thought they were getting some things and you thought they were getting it right, and then all of a sudden it's like they fell off the wagon and messed it up. Maybe not nothing bad, but you're sitting there thinking they know what's right. I've taught them what's right. They've lived what's right. They know it's good and right to do this, but man, they messed it up. You know, we're the same way sometimes if we're not careful. And by the way, I go back to Romans 6. And I'm just going to tell you, we do not have to mess it up. I don't care what you say. I know what Romans 6 says. I'm freed from sin. I don't have to mess it up, man. It ain't God that messes it up. It's me that messes it up. And when I mess it up, man, that just cuts the blessings off. In our life, what was it? It is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. But when I'm living, don't you want to do something good for your children, your grandchildren, especially when they're doing good and doing right? The Bible said in Psalms 37, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, He shall bring it to pass. We're trusting, we're delighting in Him, we're committing to Him, then we're trusting Him again, and He's going to do all this. I would rather fight this world tooth and nail and fight the devil and know that God's on my side than to be out there with them having to try to fight God. Because He's going to win every time. I don't want Him against me. I want Him for me. David said at one time, He's on my side. David didn't say I'm on His side. He said, He's on my side. How are you going to say that if you ain't close to God? How are you going to say God's on my side if you ain't living close? How are you going to say God's bless me, bless me? You ever seen people that you know they're living in sin and they want to talk about the blessings of God? Man, they're crazy. I know what the book says. God ain't going to bless me in sin. He ain't going to bless you in sin when you're doing wrong. Just ain't going to happen, man. But boy, when you're living right, and you're living close. Ain't you glad? I'm glad the Lord still hears and answers my prayers. Man, that's a wonderful blessing. Because He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Lord, not hear me. I'm glad when I pray, God hears. Sometimes I wonder if He hears me. And then all of a sudden, He'll answer. I'm like, man, thank you, Lord. I prayed something here a while back, probably about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, might have been a little longer than that. It was just a little prayer. God didn't have to do it. It wasn't no big deal whether God done it or not. But I was just asking Him to do something. And really, it was just to help strengthen my faith, too. And I think that's why God done what He done for me. And within a matter of about an hour, He answered that thing. He said, well, God would have done it whether you asked. I don't know whether God would have done it or not, but I know that I asked Him, and He moved in a way that was probably very, very unusual. I mean, have you not ever done that? Have you not ever talked to the Lord about maybe something little in your life that, Lord, I just need some help. Boy, it'd be good if you'd do this, Lord. It'd help me. You know, makes a way when there is no way. Come by and be your friend. You know, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Some people are so miserable because they're living so far from God. And some people are so happy because they're living close to Him. The relationship is good. I do not know what it means to have a bad marriage. Hope I never do. But you know, I can tell
Like right now, I know Miss Latham's in the house, but I know she's over there and I'm over here. I don't feel her presence. But you know, when I'm at my house, and she may be over here on the couch and I'm sitting in my easy chair there, and I've told you this before, we may not say 5 words in 3 hours to each other, but I know she's there. One, I can see her, and two, I can feel her presence. And you know what? Sometimes I'll just go over there and pile up on the couch with her. And I know that I can feel her. Why? I'm closer to her. That's the same way. The closer you draw nigh to God, I'm telling you, the more you're going to be able to feel Him and know that He's there, friend. He said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Don't you want to feel Him? Don't you want Him to be able to get a hold of your heart and squeeze on your... Don't you want to know that He's there? He said, well, I know He's there. I know that. But don't you want to know that He's there? Take your Bible and look in 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm going to close here in a minute. You stay with me, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 6. The ark is away from the house of God. David is going to fetch it, the Bible said. And to make a long story short, David goes to get it. They put it on a new cart. And they're singing and dancing out there before it. They're praising the Lord on the way in. David's made a tent for it. And David's going to go get it. And he brings it in. And they put it on a new cart. And the Bible says in verse 6, and when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand on the ark of God and took hold of it. For the oxen shook it. They're pulling it with an oxen cart. They've got it on the cart, and that thing begins to fall off, if I could say that. And Uzzah rets up there to get a hold of it and stabilize it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. He said he was trying to do something good. They weren't supposed to touch it. And there he died by the ark of God. Let me stop right here and say, you know, I've preached the message out of this thing before, trying to do something right the wrong way. How were they supposed to carry that ark? You go over and you look into the law when that thing was created. And also David figures this out. If you go on over, I believe it is in one of the latter books, and you'll find that he was reminded there's two staves that slide through them golden rings that's out there on the outside of it, and you're supposed to have 4 men carry that thing. Now he was trying to do something good the wrong way. But notice the Bible said, and David was displeased because the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? And David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside unto the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Why'd God bless him? Hey, that ark represented not only the presence of God, but also the power of God. And as long as that thing was at Obed-Edom's house, well, as long as God was present, God's power was going to be seen. It's kind of like Joseph. Everything Joseph touched turned to gold over there in Potiphar's house. The Bible said that God was with him. Why? Joseph was separated and wanted to live for God and to do right for God. He wanted a right relationship. Hey, I'm telling you, when we're close to God and God is close to us, there's no telling what might happen in our life that God can do with us. But number 3, if you don't draw close, that'll be the ruin of you. It'll ruin your joy. We done seen that. It'll ruin your testimony because the further and further you just stay away from God. And it's just going to ruin you. It's just going to ruin you. I mean, people get away from God. They'll get away from Him. And you might still come to church for a little while, but then you eventually start slipping a little here and a little there. And then other things start slipping in your home. And And I heard a preacher preach early this morning. I was up a little, I guess a little after 5. And trust me, that's not normally what time I get up. That's what time I got up this morning. And I was listening to a little preaching this morning. And he was talking about, look at folk around you. He was preaching on Gideon over there. Talking about that he was faint yet pursuing. And he said, look around. There's going to be some people here in 20 years that you look at right now. They're not going to be here in 20 years. What was he said? He was talking about they're not going to keep pursuing when they get tired. They're going to quit. And there's going to be some people that way. They're going to quit because they've got tired. And they get away from God. I'm going to tell you, one of the worst things you can ever do as a Christian is get away from God, because it begins to show up in your life and it'll take you away from everything that you know that is right and holy. Say, well, preacher, you know, some people, and we'll call this the fence to the world. Some people want to live right here. But when really we just need to be living over here as close to God as we can and stand away from that thing, because it's just going to keep attracting us and attracting us over there to it. And it's going to be the ruination of us if we let it. I don't want to get away from God. I don't want to be away from God. I like living close. Let me say this. Is it every day that I feel God? Not every day. And I have bad days. I'm sure you do too. But for one thing, I trust that book. And I know that if I draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to me. I believe that, church. What about you? Where are you at with God? Where's your life with God right now? Let's bow our heads across the house, if we would.